Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At-Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At-Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
All right, let's bring on Clay Ferrero and see if he thinks there was a lack of R-E-S-P-E-C-T when it comes to Bam Adebayo and Jimmy Butler. I really can't cape up for Jimmy because he missed a lot of games. But if you include what he did in the bubble, which a lot of people on social media are suggesting, that, hey, how could you have a legit all-star team without considering what went on in the bubble just months ago, then Jimmy Butler would certainly be an all-star.
He had to be. But also with the numbers, Hawk, KD played 19 games and Jimmy's played 19 games. KD's a starter. Like, I don't know how they pick these teams.
Let's go out to the Toyota of Hollywood Hotline. Shop over 1,500 Toyotas indoors in one of America's largest showrooms at Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan. Clay Ferrero, sports anchor at Local 10 here in Miami. Always enjoy a little Ferrero side chat, if you will. Did Bam and Jimmy get disrespected?
They did, yes. And I love that intro music, by the way. I mean, that's like one of those good songs that you have stuck in your head for the rest of the day. You know, sometimes you have those bad songs, but man, you give me a little Motown, that's outstanding. I love that. Here's my thing with it, guys. And look, if you want to tell me that all of a sudden we're just taking guys who had the best first halves of the NBA season, then I guess I missed the memo. But, you know, to me, it's always been the all-star game. It's never been the all guys who had the best stats on teams with the best records in the first half game. And, you know, my greatest memory of any all-star game growing up was seeing Magic Johnson in the Orlando all-star game when, I mean, he had already retired. And I'm not saying that Jimmy Butler and Bam Adebayo are on Magic Johnson's level, but, you know, the game to me isn't just supposed to be about who had the best first 28 games in a shortened season. It's about who the stars in the NBA are now. And I don't think you can tell me after what happened in the playoffs last year that you're right. Jimmy Butler didn't play as many games this year. And yet when you go down the list of NBA stars, he's there. And Bam Adebayo has kind of kept this team afloat in many ways while Jimmy and others were out. And so I find it hard that neither one deserved a spot on the team, given what the Heat did in the bubble and given what, to me, the All-Star game is supposed to be all about.
And Clay, we've been doing this show for years. You've been coming on with us for years. I'm sure last year at All-Star time, we talked about the same stuff. What is the flaw in the selection process? Why is the NBA so stubborn on how they pick these guys?
Yeah, I think the major flaw is that there doesn't seem to be a whole lot of consistency. And it kind of goes back to what I just said. It's, okay, do you want the stars there? In which case, I got no problem having KD there after only playing the number of games that he has. And in which case, Jimmy should be there as well. And it goes the same for Anthony Davis, who hasn't played quite as many games. And he's also played hurt. And his first half wasn't as good. I mean, you may have heard Charles Barkley the other day was advocating for Jordan Clarkson to get a spot ahead of Anthony Davis. Okay, look, if we're going to make this from now on about who had the best first few games of the season, then let's let everybody know that. But the fact that it is so open-ended, and to me, like, you're supposed to get the biggest and the brightest out there. And I'm not saying that you don't leave room for younger players who truly deserve it, or first-timers who've had this resurgence and are starting to come onto the scene. But to me, if it is the all-star game, put all stars out there. And so the greatest flaw to me is that there doesn't seem to be consistency. There doesn't seem to be any way that you can apply this and say, hey, this guy should be on the roster based on history and based on what we think this game should be about.
And I think, too, just the two seasons, this one, which is the truncated season, the last season truncated, and then in the bubble, you don't have a single player from the Eastern Conference representative in the NBA Finals. It just seems like a swing and a miss there. People are pointing out, and this is valid, Crowder, KD made the team, same numbers of games played as Jimmy Butler, but KD made it based on fan voting. And then the rest of the team, the rest of the rosters obviously are picked by the coaches. So fans are always going to vote for their favorite players. I don't think Jimmy Butler is an all-time fan favorite the way that KD is. He's just a guy. So he would have to make it via coaches voting. But that's strange to me that there wouldn't be a single representative from the Heat, knowing that they're your most recent representative in the Eastern Conference Finals. But it is what it is. I'm not getting too caught up in it because it's going to be this one-off game that I'm sure a lot of guys are happy they've got time off and don't have to travel to Atlanta to go to. But let's talk about the Heat because they've got Toronto tonight, Clay, and they're back home after a road trip. So that road trip seemed like it was going to be pretty dicey there after the loss to the Clippers, and then they gave away that game to Golden State. They come back, though, 4-3. I mean, you're happy with 4-3, right?
You have to be. You have to be. And if you had told Eric Spoelstra before the trip that they'd be 4-3, he'd be ecstatic about that. And, yeah, if you dissect each game, you say, okay, well, Kawhi and Paul George and Patrick Beverley didn't play, and that was a missed opportunity. And they were dominating the Warriors for the majority of that game, then all of a sudden couldn't do anything right in the last 8 minutes of the game and in overtime. And, you know, so you're looking at those and what could have been, and yet you have to accept what is, and that is that you went on your toughest road trip of the season and a longest road trip, what, tied in Heat history, right? The longest by mileage that they've ever had. And you come back with a winning record on the trip. And I also think that the more important thing is I think they're starting to figure some things out, at least defensively. There's still some issues offensively, especially in clutch situations. And I think a big part of that is, look, man, go back to last year and in the bubble and in the playoffs, who was their best shooter, the guy who was making the biggest clutch shots from the floor? It was Goran Dragic. And Jimmy was fantastic at getting to the line and kind of making those right plays. But, man, Goran is the guy that they've relied on to get to the spots in closing situations and either create for his teammates or get the shot that he needs. And he hasn't been there. Hopefully he's there tonight or he's going to be there soon. And so maybe that helps what their biggest flaw is right now, which is they just can't make a shot late in game. So, yeah, I mean, I think the defense is getting better. I think you're starting to see some things on offense that you like. Even in that Oklahoma City game early, they were getting good shots. They were just missing them. But what I think the next step is for this team is figure out who your closers are. Figure out who, in addition to Jimmy, can score late in game so that you don't have any more of these Golden State situations. But I think tonight's a big game, taking on a Toronto team that, you know, before last night had really started to figure some things out.
And, Clay, we talked to Crowder yesterday, and we were talking about Kendrick Nunn. And, you know, he was kind of saying that Nunn really never got in his groove in the bubble, and now we're seeing Nunn playing 81 minutes in two games, 27 and 20, you know, in back-to-back games. Is Kendrick Nunn a key cog in the Heat success this season?
Well, he is right now, and a big part of that is because Goran is out. And look, I think what they're going to have to figure out moving forward, and it's going to be a good problem to have, but – you know, not only are they going to get Goran back, but I really think that they're going to look different with Avery Bradley. I felt like that was a big signing in the offseason. And, you know, we haven't been able to see Avery Bradley be Avery Bradley because even when he's played, he's been kind of trying to find his way. But, man, you have a guy in Bradley who can lock down defensively one of the guard spots, which has been another one of their biggest weaknesses this year. So, yeah, Kendrick Nunn's been huge with both of those guys out. The question then becomes, can he sustain that as his role becomes a little more reduced? Because I do feel like that's going to happen once you get back Dragic and you get back Avery Bradley. I don't know if that means that he starts and then just plays fewer minutes because those guys come off the bench and eat up a lot of those minutes, or maybe he goes back to the bench. But whatever it is, he's going to have to figure out a way to sustain what he's been doing without quite the volume. Because you mentioned the 41 minutes, part of what he does is he gets into a groove because he gets the volume, and that's great. And yet he needs to find a way to kind of be like, remember the microwave, Vinnie Johnson in Detroit? Like, he has to be a guy who can do that kind of thing with limited volume, come in and light it up in limited opportunities.
Clay Ferraro is with us. You see him on Local 10 anchoring sports or reporting on sports. You know, every now and then we have Mike Cugno on from CBS4, one of your competitors, and we send him out to eat a McRib, and then last week we sent him out to eat a Shamrock Shake, or I think it was this week that we sent him out to drink a Shamrock Shake. I just wanted you to know, Clay, we love you, but you've told us before that you used to be heavy, and so we don't want to be the cause of a relapse for you, and that's why we have avoided sending you to McDonald's for Shamrock Shakes or McRibs. I just wanted to know if you knew that.
No, I. But I'm glad. I'm glad that Cugno has become your foil on that stuff. By the way, and I could say this. This is just a moment of like a moment of being slightly serious. Mike Cugno is like the greatest guy in the world. I hope you guys don't pick on him too much, but he is like the nicest guy in the world.
I have to tell you, someone texted me about Cugno yesterday. I have to tell you, Mike Cugno. So we had him on for the first time. It had to be, what, 3-4 years ago, Crowder?
Yeah.
And I thought he was like a little bit dry. There wasn't much there. I have come to hang on this dude's every word. He is like a sniper when he comes on with us.
Yes.
He's right. He's giving you like an answer, and then all of a sudden, haymaker on Crowder, and Crowder sprawled out on the canvas. Yeah. Haymaker on Solana. Solana sprawled out on the canvas, and he has no shortage of mean words for me. But I'm telling you, that dude's a gamer. But he doesn't, you know, he doesn't like the fast food at all. He's very, very in shape. He works out like a fiend. Like, do you, again, Clay has shared this with us before. You used to be heavy and you lost a lot of weight. Do you still engage in fast food every now and then, or do you avoid it?
Oh, now and then for sure. It depends on what it is, though. I think the one thing I'll say is, like, I choose my calories a little more carefully. So, like, I'm not. If I'm in a rush, right, and that happens a lot in this business, I would rather just pack something that I know is healthy, because I'm running around so much and I'm not paying attention, and I'm going to taste it anyway. So if I'm not going to taste it, I'd rather eat, like, I don't know, a handful of almonds and some chicken or something than cram a Big Mac in my face and save the calories for something I'd really like later. Like, I'm a big burrito guy. I love, as a matter of fact, my wife's birthday was last night and we did whole enchilada. So like, that's something I really like. If I'm going to splurge and use my calories, it's going to be on something I really like the good Girl Scout cookies, like Samoas, like those are the
no
good
such
cookies.
Thing. Yeah. There's no
that's,
such thing.
That's what I'll eat. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, those are the good ones. Don't give me this Thin Mint garbage.
None of them are good.
So as y'all say, Mike's this
what?
Great guy. Oh, he hates Girl Scout cookies.
Play the fishing reel, Solana. I caught another one. No, the Girl Scout, I'm not going to relitigate it, but the Girl Scout cookies, this is one of the greatest. There I am, fishing. I caught a Clay Ferraro.
Here's the thing with Cugno. He is the nicest guy in the world. He's also one of those guys, though, like when you're his buddy, he's going to jab you. And so I'm sure when you first brought him on, he was like, he didn't know you very well.
Exactly.
He's like, oh, well, do I have to be, you know, so he's like playing public Cugno. But when you get to know him, he's going to jab you. But it's all in good fun. But you also walk away thinking, wait a minute, that actually kind of hurt, because that was true.
I mean, he dubbed Crowder the old tugboat, and the nickname stuck.
He took a deep dig at my psychology about losing my athletic ability and just killed me for it. So yeah, this whole Clay, this whole Mike Cugno thing is nice. I'm not jumping on that bandwagon.
He's continued to jab you though, Crowder.
I know, like, that's what he does.
He's tricked
y'all too. You two are brainwashed by Cugno.
But I will tell you this, Clay, just quickly on the Girl Scout, because we're going to run out of time. The Girl Scout cookies are one of the greatest frauds perpetrated on America. And it's you're raised to believe that Girl Scout cookies are so special, and because it's tantamount to being a Satanist to say that the cookies aren't good. No one says that. I say it because I'm not afraid to speak the truth. Me and Marjorie Taylor Greene. Okay. We will speak.
Okay. Hold on a second.
That loony bird. No, but here's the thing.
Okay.
If you had your choice of cookies, you were in the cookie aisle. Supporting the Girl Scouts is a great thing. Support the Girl Scouts all day, every day. Girl Scouts come to your house and want to sell you cookies. You give them the money for cookies. Don't take the cookies. Or take the cookies and bring them to a homeless shelter. But the notion that they're actually good cookies is ridiculous, and they rip you off now because the amount of cookies that they give you for it used to be a box for $3, you know, now it's like $60. You get three cookies, and it just none of them are better than an Oreo. None of them are better than a Chips Ahoy. None of them are better than a Mrs. Fields cookie. None of them are better than a Pepperidge Farm Montauk cookie. None of them are better than a Pirouette cookie. I mean, I could go down and down the list of cookies. You're never going to get to Girl Scout cookies being better than a particular cookie, except maybe a Ginger Snap.
I mean, sir, this is a Wendy's.
Excellent response.
So I had this bit. I was going to like pretend that I was Xing out my kids because my daughters do the Girl Scout cookie thing, and that's why they're in my house. So I was pretending like I was Xing out all the ones that were sold so I could actually give the truth on these. You're absolutely right. Like they're fine. I do
wow.
really like some.
I admire anyone that will admit after they seem to be entrenched in something, will admit that they actually know that I'm right.
No, I do like Samoas. I agree with you. I wouldn't put them up there with the ones that you mentioned, but I do like them. I think they're a curveball, and I like them. But like the Thin Mints are straight garbage. And the other thing too is, man, have you guys had the public cookies, like the cookie cake, the giant cookies?
At Publix?
Publix, yeah. Oh,
yeah.
The best in the that's my cookie. Delicious. Every year for my birthday, I ask my wife, all
it's
I want
best.
Is a Publix cookie cake. Yeah. So that puts all of it in.
Banger.
It is an all-time banger. We had it for Valentine's Day. Oh, so good.
Outstanding. Clay, that puts them all to shame.
I got to ask you something quick. You're the first person that I know that has actual Girl Scouts. They make $19 billion a year off these cookies. Do you see it throughout the rest of the year? Like, are Girl Scouts taking advantage of the overhead that they've made and the money and the net they've made off these damn cookies?
So, I don't know. They just started. This is their first year doing it. They better, or else they're not going to be in the Girl Scouts again.
I mean, Crowder, you know we're all just pawns in the game.
I just know because they make so much money. I guarantee they have to go on some great trips. They have billions in the bank.
And by the way, without going, it's $5 for these 14 cookies for $5, guys.
It's too much.
Are you saying that that's good or bad?
And they're tiny.
It's ridiculous. This is what I'm saying. Now, are your daughters still selling them?
No, that's what I'm saying. Like, we've already crossed off all the ones on the list, so we've already gotten rid of them, all of them. So,
oh, okay, because I was going to buy them all up. Yeah. If there was any left, I was going to buy them all up right now to show you that I want to support the Girl Scouts while maligning their cookies.
Well, I'll text you if there's any left, but no, I think and take them somewhere, where people will appreciate them. But no, you can at the same time say they're okay and support the Girl Scouts, but also not go overboard.
Right. Well, if there's any left, you text me, and I'll buy them all up, and then I want you to send me a picture of you dumping them into a lake.
I will
send them
that.
All to Cuno's house. You know what? We'll send them all to Cuno's house. We'll get Cuno's address, and we'll send them to his house.
Do that. I'll drive to his place, and I'll drop them off.
All right. That's fantastic. Fair enough. All right, I think we've covered a lot of ground here, Clay. Thank you, as always.
Clay
Ferrero from Local 10, proud Girl Scout dad. There you go. All right, we did cover a lot of ground there. We really, that was a frenetic 15 minutes. Wow. All right.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof?
Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.